The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I've tried to give our local government the benefit of the doubt through this COVID shutdown. But what I saw 1 hour ago is so infuriating, so nauseating to me, that I have to make it my top story today.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I'm really upset as we start this afternoon. I'm shaking a little bit. At 9 o'clock this morning, I heard from another person who I care about very, very deeply that they have been laid off from their work. Like tens of thousands of our family, our friends, maybe many of you listening right now, either furloughed or laid off. This was a layoff that I heard about from the person I care about. And it just, it gives you that feeling in the pit of your stomach that so many people are experiencing such pain right now. And we tell ourselves, but it's for some collective good. And we saw at the White House COVID press briefing yesterday that we seem to be doing okay in decreasing the slope in the curve. We seem to be doing okay. So we have some shared sacrifice, and we have some awareness that there's some reason why we're going through all of this pain. It's to save lives. You know, they're telling us maybe 100,000, 200,000 of our fellow Americans are going to die. A lot of them in the next 2 and 3 weeks, as we were warned how painful this is going to be. But they said it could be 2 million if not for mitigation. And so we're going through this pain, and we're seeing people we love out of work. And so that was hanging real heavy on me. And I've tried to give the benefit of the doubt to our local politicians, but I can't do that anymore. I can't do that. When they have one system of life for you and me in the private sector, and they have no concept of what the rest of us are going through, or they just have some such contempt and hatred for us that they have decided to shove things like this in our face. So about 10:45 this morning, I finished my show prep, and I thought, I'm going to see if I can get in a quick bike ride. Kind of an essential part of my rehab after my knee surgery. And I thought I could do 30 minutes. If I'm back by 11:15, I can get everything put together for the show. So I leave my house. I go bomb down to the Burke-Gilman Trail. I'm going to do 6 miles. That's about all I can do because I'm just back on my bike after the knee surgery. But it was going to be a good, and it was going to clear my head. It was going to put me in the right place for doing the show. It was going to take away some of the tension of having heard about another loved person who lost their job today. So I'm riding my bike north on the Burke-Gilman in Kenmore. And I couldn't believe what I saw. 4 big, white, huge pickup trucks. The logo on the side, King County Department of Natural Resources. In the back of the truck, there were lawnmowers and weed eaters. And I slowed down as I rode by. And what I saw was 4 King County employees. They were standing next to the open doors in the trucks. I say they were employees. I don't say they were workers, because none of them was working as I was riding by. They're standing leaning against the open doors of their pickup trucks, four huge gas-guzzling, climate-destroying, right, Jay? Pickup trucks driven by four workers. And they're just talking and laughing and smoking cigarettes and not doing a lick of work. I kept going north. Fueled and filled now with this growing rage. And I turned around, and as I was riding by, I took a picture. I got a story up right now at mynorthwest.com. I took a picture of these four King County trucks sitting next to the Burke-Gilman Trail. And 10 minutes later, as I was riding in the other direction, were the lawnmowers out? The weed whackers out? No. Still four people, not, by the way, employing social distancing, standing within 6 feet of each other, laughing and smoking cigarettes. How can we believe that when Jay Inslee and Dow Constantine are putting people out of work because of what they deem essential businesses? There's a wonderful guy who listens to my show. He mows lawns down in Puyallup. He's been told that he can't do his livelihood because he's not essential. It's a guy who serves dozens and dozens of homes, doesn't come in contact with anybody. He's been told, you're out of work. Because that's what the government has arbitrarily, capriciously decided. And yet, King County government can send four trucks with four employees who can, for at least the 10 minutes that I rode by, turned around north of them, and then came back, for at least those 10 minutes, didn't do one lick of work. And we're just smoking and laughing. How are we supposed to trust Dow Constantine through any of this? Hey, Dow, how are these people essential workers? When every landscaper who's listening to me, and I want, in fact, hey, Nicole, are you hooked up today?
How are I you am. Looking? I'm here.
I know. You know how fired. Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
I mean, when I talked to you right before the show, you knew how genuinely furious I am.
Yes, can, I did.
Do you have the text line hooked up?
I do.
Okay. I would like to hear. I don't know if we can turn this around. Yeah, we've got another 7-8 minutes in the segment. If you are a landscaper or somebody who mows lawns and you've been told you're not allowed to work, would you text us real quick, and we'll get your phone number, and we'll try to call you back. I would like to get the reaction. I could have set this up a little more smoothly, but I just saw this before I started the show today. But just send us a text at 98973. If you are, I mean, you don't have to be a landscaper. Are you somebody who's been told that you cannot earn a living today because you're not essential? And somebody is texting me from the 360. Please tell me you're not holding contempt against the individuals. Yes, they're stupid for not social distancing, but it's not their fault that our moronic leadership has dubbed them essential. I do not hold them in contempt. Although, if you're a government employee and it's your job to mow grass or weed whack by the side of a public trail, why don't you show a little bit of concern, maybe sympathy, for the tens of thousands of people who pay your salaries who are out of work? Why don't you not stand around for 10 minutes? Oh, we were on a break. Screw your break. You got a lot of taxpayers who fuel your salaries who are on a months-long break, and they don't know how they're going to pay their rent that's due today or their mortgage. I'd like to know how people in the public feel about the fact that as we're shutting down King County, we got four people with lawnmowers and weed whackers next to the Burke Gilman at 11 o'clock this morning in Kenmore. I'm going through the text. They're coming in fast and furious here. I'm just going to do some of this in real time. Dory Clayton from Whidbey. Oh, it's a long text. He said, I got to find a shorter one, Clayton. My husband did yard work. He doesn't have any contact even to get paid. He usually works through Venmo and PayPal, so he has no contacts and no way to claim unemployment. Now I know it. I know it. Four trucks from the 253. Is that really necessary? No, it's not. But this is, I mean, if they don't care about optics, then I'm going to be the one to take your optics and I'm going to shove them back down your throat, Dow Constein. If this is how little empathy you have for all the people who are losing their jobs, all of the job creators who are losing their businesses. From the 253, I'm a landscaper and tree service worker, will not stop working. Those King County workers might have been on their required union break, maybe. I'll say it again, that if you're a government worker, take your break when you're not in the eyesight of all the unemployed around you then. Take your smoke break out of view of people who are trying to get a little exercise on the Burke Gilman. How tone deaf are you? How absolutely tone deaf. Let me go to the phones here. Zach has a landscaping business and joins me live here on Cairo. Zach, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Hey, no problem. Thanks. How's it going?
Are you able to work right now, Zach?
No, we actually filed for an exemption and we were rejected that exemption.
Springtime's a pretty busy time of the year for landscapers. I would imagine this is when you really make your nut, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So how tough is this financially? Are you a small business owner?
Yeah, we're a pretty small company. Financially, we'll be fine. It's just unfortunate because we take care of essential businesses and also, you know, residential clients who don't have the ability to take care of their property. So
what's your reaction when the government has told you you cannot work, you cannot make a living? What is your reaction when I tell you that I see four trucks with lawnmowers and weed eaters from King County, and they're standing by just smoking and not doing any work by the Burke Gilman? What's your reaction as a taxpayer when you hear about this?
Well, it is frustrating. You know, we just want to get out and take care of the community. And we're not able to when we know that we're operating safely is the thing. In solo crews, we're ready to operate solo crews, essentially no contact with the public. So it just doesn't make sense, right?
No, it doesn't. All right. Zach, good to hear from you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I mean, I'm just getting a million texts here. I can't work. I own a small sales business of various items. I have Konex containers full and being charged monthly. They said, no relief. I will be bankrupt. I'm a mobile dog groomer. I don't even need to come in contact with my customers, but I'm not allowed to work. On and on it goes. Plumbing contractor. I work on medical and dental projects. Can't have my four employees work. What in God's name is Dow Constein thinking about here? I'm sorry. This is evil. When there are tens of thousands of people hurting to the extent that our community is. It's not the greatest picture, but I took a picture of it as I was riding by about an hour ago, just a little over an hour ago, up in Kenmore. The truck said King County Department of Natural Resources. So, Nicole, I've asked you if you would reach out to the King County Department of Natural Resources. How are we doing with that? Because I'd like to hear their explanation.
Well, I reached out, I called, and no one's there to answer the phone. They say that they're not in, which I assume that they've all been sent home. I sent an email, and it has not been returned yet. My request has not been responded to.
Okay. Well, and look, I've been really tough on you guys in the first 15 minutes here, but I would welcome anybody from King County Department of Natural Resources to return Nicole's call and come on and explain to all the out-of-work taxpayers how it makes sense to have four people with lawnmowers and weed eaters next to the Burke-Gilman Trail. And just advice. I know a little bit about managing people. Let me give you a little advice if you're a manager in that department. Tell your employees to take their smoke break where the unemployed can't see them laughing and smoking and seeming to just have contempt for the people paying their salaries. Or if not contempt, absolutely no sympathy, absolutely no heart for the people who are paying their salaries. But this is the much, much, much bigger problem that I've been talking about, friend. That how are we supposed to take Jay Inslee and Dow Constantine seriously when there is one set of rules for government and a completely different set of rules for us? When they tell us we can't gather, but they run buses, according to drivers, that have 80% homeless people just riding in circles. And then if you have somebody who's actually trying to get to work, what are they being exposed to when they get on that bus? But you tell government can keep the buses running. Sound Transit can keep their construction project going. But all the private contractors, all the people who pay your taxes, pay your salaries, they're out of work. They're facing bankruptcy. But Sound Transit, oh, we're not taking any bit of a trim. Can you give us our $30 car tabs? No, we got to keep collecting tax money. Why? Oh, we got a weed whack next to the Burke-Gilman. Give me $500 for your tabs. When there's a completely different set of rules for the public than there is for the government, then I can't take them seriously. Can we have any sacrifice from our government? We're losing tens of thousands of jobs in the private sector. How many cuts has City of Seattle made? King County? Washington State? How many cuts have any of you made? Do I want those four smoking, laughing, weed-whacking DNR workers out of work? No. But I also don't want the private landscape. I don't want the guy in Puyallup who mows lawns out of work either. And if you're going to do that to the private sector, you better do it to yourselves. If you want to go see the pic of the trucks next to the Burke-Gilman from last hour, go to mynorthwest.com. It's right there on the front page. Oh, ironically, right underneath the story that Jay Inslee has clarified his list of essential businesses. I guess weed whacking on the Burke-Gilman made the cut, so to speak. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, what's a unique way to talk about this global pandemic of COVID-19? Why, by talking to the lead singer of Twisted Sister about it, Dee Snider. Will join me next. I know it's a bizarre transition as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, you are listening to the music of Twisted Sister, fronted by Dee Snider. We're going to talk to him in just a moment. First, the president yesterday was talking about the bringing home of 25,000 Americans who had been stuck out of the country during the coronavirus, just the absolute worldwide plague. Here's what the president had to say.
Since January 29th, we have successfully repatriated over 25,000 Americans from more than 50 countries where they were literally stuck, in some cases locked in. And I salute the incredible public servants at the Department of State, as well as their counterparts at DHS and HHS, who have played such an important role in doing this. You probably read about the young people in Peru and young people in Brazil, and they were absolutely stuck, and we got them out, got them. Almost everybody is out now, back home with their parents, their wives, their husbands.
And the reason I played that soundbite from the president is because it directly relates to what we are talking to Dee Snider from Twisted Sister about. Dee, welcome to the show. Appreciate you coming on with me today.
Glad to be on. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, you don't really appreciate things like that until it happens to you. It's very tough.
Well,
sometimes you listen to these things, hear about people stuck far and away, and then it happens to you, and you get just how desperate it is.
I tell you what, Dee, when I first heard your video a couple of weeks ago, I related to you father to father because my three daughters are now in their 20s and they have lived some adventures, and all three of them have been to second and third world countries. And even under the best of circumstances, for a dad, that's pretty nerve-wracking when your kid chooses to live a life of adventure like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you know, but I'm a traveler myself, and under normal circumstances, it's fine. This retreat my daughter went to, my wife had been to, two of my sons had been to. We knew the people who ran it. I mean, and under normal circumstances, it's a, hey, you fly in, the bus meets you at the airport, and they take you there. Everything's cool. But these aren't normal circumstances. And these are times when people's most base instincts come out, and you realize that a country like Peru is only a centimeter away from being a dictatorship, and they went into full martial law without any warning and refused to allow American citizens to leave.
Sure. And so she was at a spiritual retreat, as I understand it. And like you said, so many other members of your family had been there. And so then Peru shuts down the borders, as so many countries have done because of COVID-19. They shut down the borders. Your daughter is stuck there. And you as a dad were scared to death, right?
I've never been so scared and worried and concerned and stressed out and freaked out. You know, you say, happened to me is fine, but happening to one of my kids, that puts you in a whole different mode. And I just want to say that, you know, countries around the world close their borders, understandable, but they all were allowing people to leave. You know, the government was able to bring people home. Peru singularly decided they were going to play chess with tourists as pawns, and they were making demands. We're not letting your people out until you, and this is to all countries in the world, until you bring our people back. So this is ridiculous for a little country like that to try and flex what little muscles it has, but they decided that now is the time they're going to make a stand.
Well, and so when did she get out, and how? How and why did she get out?
Well, you know, and this is one of the things that I'm here to talk about, because people are still there, okay? They brought 25,000 people, and they're doing a great job bringing people home all over the world. But you go online, there are people still there. They're still trying to get people back home. And I told people on social media that just because I get my daughter back doesn't mean I will not keep getting the word out. There are still people who are stranded and need to be helped. But also get the word out to people that you need to try everything and anything. You know, it's not about being a rock star to get people home. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody. And you'll be amazed where the help can come from. And one of the biggest helps I got a call from my social media publicist, Matt Byers. I didn't even think to call him. I was calling everybody. Do you know anybody? Do you know anybody? And Matt goes, I grew up in Washington, D.C. I went to school and summer camp with all the kids of all the senators and representatives and all the people in Washington. He got me access that I couldn't possibly get. But I wouldn't have known that unless he reached out to me or if I had reached out to him.
So you did have some access that the average person would not. I mean, you're a well-known guy. You're a celebrity who's been around for a long, long time, it sounds.
It's amazing how little that accounts for when serious things are going on.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And I just didn't do the Washington thing. I said, I got to get her out no matter what. And do you think I know Black Ops? No, I do not. But I do now. Do you think I knew mercenaries? I did not. But I do now. I had people literally in the jungle working their way slowly to where she was. And if could not get her out by a more legitimate fashion. Fortunately, she did not have to suffer through an extraction because the government got her. But the point being, it had nothing to do with being a rock star. I didn't know Black Ops. I just kept sort of calling people until somebody said, yeah, I know a guy who knows a guy. And that got me in touch with them. And guess what? They were going to make me pay like everybody else.
So how much does it cost to hire Peruvian mercenaries to extract a kid from the country? What was that going to cost you?
You don't want to know. And that's a funny
position. Yes, I did. Dee, I wouldn't have asked the question if I didn't want to know.
It's six figures. Six figures. High six figures. Not high six figures. You know, yeah, a couple hundred grand. And that's a question.
Okay.
You get to a thing like that, and you say, you find your brain going, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. And then the other side of your brain goes, are you actually saying, you got a price tag here? You got a price tag? You would mortgage your home to get your kid back? Like, and you just kind of start feeling this sense of guilt, like that you actually thought for a minute, like, oh, that's maybe too much money, too much whammy. Your kid's in harm's way. There's cartels in Peru. There's martial law in Peru. She's a 23-year-old girl, bleach blonde goth chick. How long do you think she's going to last on the streets? So you really plays with your head when you start saying, what would you do? How far would you go?
Of course.
To save your child.
Well, as I played at the beginning of the interviews, President Trump yesterday, he paid particular praise to the State Department and DHS and all of these agencies. He says that they are in the midst of the largest repatriation of Americans in U.S. history. 25,000 people they have brought home who were stranded in a variety of countries around the world. Did the administration have anything to do with your daughter getting home?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they were the ones, the embassy and Washington, they're the ones who brought her back, and God bless them and thank you. And, you know, and they're doing amazing work. But I'll just give people a little perspective. What people realize is this is what they call the high season in the vacation industry, spring break, President's Week, that time of year. England just was in a paper yesterday, are spending £75 million to bring back over 200,000 English citizens who are away on vacation, stuck away. So there are hundreds and thousands of people who are just, under normal circumstances, it's no big deal. It's a vacation. People go on vacation. They head south. They want warmth. Okay, it's winter. But when something like this happens, suddenly the whole game changes. So God bless our government for what they're doing, and what I'm here to say is a lot more work to do out there, and they're doing it.
Okay, all right, gotcha. So you were kind of buddies with Trump when you were on Celebrity Apprentice. I got the sense that by 2016 you hated him. Now yesterday he announces the focus that they had as an administration on repatriating 25,000 people, including your daughter. So are you getting whiplash about this guy now?
No. I mean, and hate was never, ever, ever. That's really unfair word. You know, I mean, it politics is a weird thing. And when you socialize and hang out, there's three things you don't talk about. You know the rules. You don't talk about religion. Don't talk about sports. Don't talk about politics. And I've got a lot of...
We always talk about sports. See, you can talk about sports.
Hey, look,
leave out the religion and the politics,
friends,
though.
Let me tell you, one of my best friends wears a Boston hat, and I wear a Yankee. I've been friends with him for 20 years. We've never mentioned our hats. Never. Not once okay. have we spoken about nice. Our teams because that would be the end of our relationship. Okay? But, you know, and then, but then politics is an ugly thing, but hate is never, ever, that's an unfair thing to say. I disagree with, yes. And, you know, I applaud his efforts and all efforts, my government's efforts to bring people home. And by the way, people say, did you call him? Those phone numbers don't work anymore. Those emails don't work anymore. He's
really?
He's not the host of a TV show. You know,
he's so changed his he's changed his number since 2011. Celebrity Apprentice.
Shocking.
Shocking. Yes. All right. Well, D, father to father, I'm very happy that your daughter's back home safe and sound with you. I got a couple of my kids hanging out with my wife and me while we're all staying at home this time. And I love it. I just absolutely love it. So I'm very happy for you, and I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate your help with just getting this word out. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. D. Snider, you know him best as the lead singer of Twisted Sister, but his daughter, he was just a dad who's hoping to get his daughter out of Peru. She's home safe and sound. All right. Love to hear what you think. You can text me at 98973, and we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. By the way, I just went to Jay Inslee's guidelines of what is an essential business. And what I saw next to the Burke Gilman from the government workers, specifically not an essential business. Under outdoor maintenance, including vegetation, is deemed essential only when necessary to prevent spoilation, which is damage from something being spoiled, avoid imminent damage, or address emergency repairs. And so, it's not essential, but government has a completely different set of rules. Now, speaking along those same lines, I saw something that was just unbelievably outrageous from our attorney general. And I've told you, I do think Bob Ferguson is the most dangerous politician I've ever covered in my 25 years on the air. But Bob Ferguson has sent out a fundraising email. Bob Ferguson, who's going to run unopposed, but listen to the first paragraph in our attorney general's email to raise money. When Ohio delayed their primary election last week, it understandably triggered fear that President Trump would use the global coronavirus pandemic to delay or cancel the November general election. Now, that's just a pure load of crap from Bob Ferguson. But are his supporters that dumb that they think the November election is going to be canceled? But there's a long history of this. Bob Ferguson, every time he sued the Trump administration, he sent out fundraising emails. He was suing. He was using you and me, Washington State tax dollars, to sue the Trump administration so he could personally, privately fundraise. He's also the guy who sent emails to teachers, government email list. So government soliciting government, the closed loop that Democrats have. Bob Ferguson's as sleazy as politicians get. And the Fastest 15 is coming up next.